Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to Easter Sunday worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. For centuries, Christians around the world have expressed their Easter joy by greeting one another with the words, Alleluia, Christ is risen. And the response, Christ is risen indeed, Alleluia. Let us affirm our own witness to this age-old mystery of the resurrection and our joy as we say once more this Easter morning, Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed, Alleluia.
I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us this day by our live streamed or our recorded worship. Time and distance continue to separate us, and yet we are one by the Spirit of the living Christ in our midst, and we become the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this Eastering congregation. I want to offer a few announcements this morning. In particular, I want to thank our worship leaders. So a special thanks to Bill Ladd and Sarah Lynn Keller and Wayne Zaretter, also to Tom Foster for his work on the organ, which you'll be able to hear this morning. Gratitude to him for doing that. And also a special thanks to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and the staff at Pegasus Natick for their technical expertise that makes this online worship possible. We have a few other things that we want you to know about this worship service. In particular, we begin our service just following the announcements with a time of lighting the Christ candle. And so we invite you to have a candle as well to light as I light the Christ candle. And we'll be celebrating communion today. And so we encourage you, if you haven't already, to find some things that you will use for bread and wine. Bread, crackers, or something else that you can break and share with others who may be with you, or and juice, wine, or water in a cup or cups. We'll also have a time of public prayer, celebrations, and concerns as we gather together as a community in prayer. And so we invite you to look at the worship bulletin and the prayer list that you'll find there, but also if you have additional prayers you want to have us incorporate into the worship this morning, you can email those to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. That's prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. And if we receive those by the time of the reflection, we should be able to bring those into our prayer together. We also have a time of post-worship fellowship, following worship, as soon as worship concludes and we can get it rolling. That happens via Zoom video conferencing, and you can find that link to this fellowship gathering in your bulletin or also in the link emailing that you would have received on Friday or earlier this morning. You can also find it on our church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. Sarah Lynn, I know that you have some announcements as well this morning.
I do, thank you. Good morning. So I want to invite folks to join us on Wednesdays at noon for our midweek connection in prayer. It's a time when we gather to share our prayer requests and just kind of how we're doing, and then to pray together. It's a lovely time. And Jonathan is available at any time during the week to provide pastoral care. If you need that, please don't hesitate to contact him via his email, pastor@firstchurchnatick.org. And this week is an FCC dinner week, so Chef Bob and his crew will be in the kitchen creating a delicious chicken or eggplant parmesan dinner. And that's only $10 for each dinner, and that is this Saturday, April 10th. And you can sign up through the office, and there's a form there that you can choose your pickup time. So I hope you'll take advantage of this delicious opportunity.
Thank you, Sarah Lynn. Next Sunday, as we continue with the Easter season, we will have a worship service focused on holy humor. So we invite you to enter into the comedy, which is the experience of Easter and what it means for us as we incorporate that into our faith lives. So we invite you to be a part of worship next week as we do that. And we come to a time now when we light our candles together, and we invite you to do that now, remembering that by these friendly flames and the power of the Spirit, we are one in Christ, no matter how distance may divide us. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So let us continue our worship now with this morning's responsive call to celebration.
Please join me as we say, roll away every stone.
Brush away every tear.
Stand tall, all you bent low.
Dash to spread the news.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please join me in the Easter prayer as we say together, God of all ages and of all people, the shadows and gloom of Good Friday have been dispersed by the light and color of Easter Sunday. We rejoice in your power that turns our sorrow into joy, our despair into hope, our defeat into victory and evil into goodness. Help us this Easter morning, O God, to burst out of the tombs that have trapped us, tombs of selfishness and pride, greed and gluttony, prejudice and resistance to change. Let now a new life of divine grace and human love burst forth from each of us this Easter day. Through the grace of the risen Christ, amen.
I invite us each now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing, or perhaps placing our hands over our hearts, or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Though we are not passing an offering plate, we hope that you will continue to be as generous as you have been in supporting this church's important ministry and mission in the world. If you are sending us money gifts, we invite you to do that by mail. You can mail those to the church office, or you can make an online contribution at www.firstchurchnatick.org. All of the many gifts that you give, whether those are money gifts or the gifts of time and talents that you are incorporating into this body of Christ to help it be up and about in the world, advancing God's mission in the world, are dearly appreciated by all of those who receive the ministry through this church. May our offerings now represent an outpouring of thanksgiving for the loving God who can raise us all from our many tombs. Let us pray. Wonderful, amazing God, we thank you that you have raised Jesus Christ from the dead, bringing us the promise of new life. With the dawning of this new day, may we awake to new opportunities, to love and to serve you, and to witness to Christ whom you have raised. Use us and our gifts to your glory. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they may go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. So ends the reading.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I'm wondering if you would believe that as a pastor, my most challenging Easter actually happens to be the one that I had off. Easter 2004, there was no Palm Sunday hoopla to plan. There was no Monday Thursday service to lead. There was no pressure of the big crowd hearing my Easter sermon. In fact, I had all of Lent off as well. Because Ash Wednesday 2004, as some of you know, I went to the hospital in the morning, and by the afternoon, I knew that I had leukemia. I started chemo days later, but an infection sent me back to the hospital. Finally returning home, I spent the remainder of my Lenten 40 days fantasizing that I might make some kind of dramatic return and be able to be in the pulpit on Easter morning. I was fooling myself. I was too weak, too susceptible to infection. My own personal Lent was going to stretch on and on and on, at times with no perceptible end. Easter on my own terms had been taken from me. My Easter celebration that year consisted of something really, really simple. Putting on my headphones and listening to those glorious strains of the Hallelujah chorus very, very loud. But the truth is, I wasn't really feeling like hallelujahs. And I thought of others on Easter not feeling Easter joy. I know that's true for some of you here today, or some of you who know others. I heard that Easter salutation, "Christ is risen," more like, "Christ is risen? Indeed?" I was doubting, not so much the faith, but just doubting that I could participate in what the resurrection implies, new life and joy. I did think about the Easter story, yet my focus wasn't on the angel in white saying not to fear and announcing Jesus' resurrection as we have it in the story that Matthew tells, or in John's gospel with a foot race by the disciples to get to the tomb first, nor was it on Luke's version either, with not one but two angels. No, I was thinking instead about Mark's version of this story, which Bill read earlier, where Mary Magdalene and the women go early in the morning to anoint Jesus's body and who are wondering, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance? Denied Easter on my own terms, the power to roll away the stone myself, that was my question. How could I feel that I could be freed from my prison and a way be made for me? Well, the fact is, most people at some point will know at least one seemingly hopeless, tomb-like experience in their lives. And some people encounter many, in fact. Grief, relationship collapse, addiction, job loss, you name it. We could go down this road of listing more and more things. Or depression, of course. Researchers tell us a third of Americans show signs of clinical depression and anxiety. But these and other mental conditions have only been exacerbated during this time of the pandemic. It's yet another way that COVID has continued to take and to take and to take from us. And while the vaccines are here and we're beginning to see some light at the end of the tunnel, we also know right now that cases are rising in Massachusetts and elsewhere, and many, depressed or not, are wondering, who can roll away the stone from the physical or spiritual death that characterizes our own lives or this world? Well, Easter 2005, I was back singing Easter Alleluias and reaffirming God's renewing power because I felt it. I felt it. You probably know that story about footprints in the sand. It's been around for a long time. A person's life is flashing before her eyes, and she notices footprints in the sand, sometimes two sets and sometimes only one set. And she is bothered because at those low points, she only sees one set of prints. And so she confronts God, asking, "You promised if I followed you that you would walk with me. But for my most trying times, there is only one set of footprints in the sand. Why weren't you there for me?" And as the story goes, God replies, "When you see only one set of footprints, my child, that is when I carried you." So this idea that God carries us in our most difficult times, that is a deeply, deeply comforting feeling. And yet my own experience of life-renewing God in the midst of cancer has much more to do with hands than with feet. Hands probing my body, hands taking blood or administering injections, doing biopsies, mopping my brow, bathing me, holding my hand, and later on making lasagnas for my family, or stacking firewood, or writing all those hundreds of letters or emails that got sent to us. And yes, my Easter faith is firm. And it's built on my experience of God-guided and God-empowered hands. Not on the perception of where God's feet might be. Easter is often presented as some kind of idea that we're supposed to accept. But faith isn't an idea. It's the experience of the power of God that helps us grasp what is most real. You may have heard that Thomas Jefferson had his own version of the New Testament. He liked Jesus' teachings, but when he read the New Testament, he found there are all kinds of things that transgressed natural laws. He didn't like that, and so he wrote his own version of the New Testament, his own version of Jesus' life story and the conclusion of his New Testament simply ends, "There laid they Jesus and rolled a great stone at the mouth of the sepulcher and departed." That's it. But 19th century preacher Phillips Brooks knew that Easter isn't an idea about eternal life to be agreed with or not. The great Easter truth, he wrote, is not that we are to live newly after death, but that we are to be new here and now by the power of the resurrection. Easter is not an idea to grasp, but an experience that might just grab us. If we are to get Easter, we must discover life in the midst of death. Experiencing God's presence in our liberation from the tombs that we know in our own lives. Poet Gerard Manley Hopkins knew this, and in the last stanza of the Wreck of the Deutschland, he uses Easter as a verb, writing, "Let him Easter in us." I love this idea. I'm sure I've shared it with you before, but it means so much to me, because this idea here is of Easter as an active power in our lives. And I am convinced that this notion of Christ Eastering in us is the feeling of the presence of God, because I know that the path for Christ to Easter in me was laid by the hands of people who embodied Christ's love for me. We might think of our life history as a history of hands that birthed, nursed, swaddled, bathed, fed, carried, and hugged us. Hands that picked us up, hands that helped us learn to walk. Hands that wiped our tears, hands that baptized us. Hands that, as we grew, guided our own hands as we learned to do things like hammer a nail or sew or knit or throw a ball or learn to read or countless other things. And when we are old, they'll be there to tuck us in one last time. Yes, these hands also had the power to slap us and to hit us. And some of you have known that kind of unholy, ungodly handling. And yet, without all those other ways that hands have tended us in our lives, empowered and guided by the living God, we would, for all intents and purposes, be entombed. Who will roll away the stones that seal up our tombs? God will, through others. And who will roll away the stones from other people's tombs and release them to live again? We will. We will, by the power of Christ at work within us. I wouldn't choose to live Easter 2004 over again. But it was the year that Easter ceased being for me one day of the year. Thinking about an empty tomb long ago, that doesn't mean that much to me. That doesn't move any of us, I think. What might move us about Easter? What convicts us, maybe, that the resurrection has powerful reality is our personal experience of the stones sealing our own tombs being removed, of being freed, of rising to new life. For that is when the truth of the resurrection is grasped by the heart. It's what I felt and what I knew when a year after leukemia, a year after I was pronounced leukemia free, on a family trip to Scotland that at one point I wasn't sure if I was ever going to make, I photographed hands in this case of my 9-year-old daughter, Ellie, proudly holding her surprising discovery of another stone, which she offered as a symbol of love. May we be for each other, movers of stones, drawing on the power of God, that all might know what it means to rise from spiritual death into new life in the spirit of the living Christ. May you know such blessing, and may you be such an instrument of such blessing. Amen. Beloved siblings in Christ, we continue to enter into this Easter mystery. And one of the ways we do that is by not using our hands, but using our hearts and our heads, and bringing our focus upon all of those places in the world where there is beauty and grace, and also where there is brokenness and where healing is needed. And so we unite in hearts and spirits this day as a community in prayer, sharing all of those concerns and celebrations that we have on this day in the midst of Easter joy. And so I invite us to look over the bulletin insert, where you'll see a number of names and situations that are noted there, places where people would have us place our focus of prayer. And we have also received some other prayer celebrations and concerns that have come to us by email before or during this worship that we would lift up now. And so I invite Wayne Zaretter to let us know about those.
Good morning. We pray for those families, children, and loved ones faced with COVID-19 challenges during these challenging times. Prayers for continued healing for Peggy Johnson, mother of Liz Hannah's boyfriend, Mark. Peggy was recently hospitalized fighting an infection. Our thoughts and prayers go out to James, Joan, Bob, and Maureen for peace and guidance while navigating challenges. Prayers for continued healing go out to Bill Ladd's friend, Mark Crouch, who is finally home since his admission to the hospital last October. The power of prayer and miracles do happen. Lastly, prayers of celebration for Laura and Charles Gibran, who marked their 50th wedding anniversary this week.
I invite us now to be in prayer with one another. Let us pray. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, redeeming God, for the glorious message that you bring new hope out of despair, resurrection out of defeat, and new life out of death. In our scriptures, you call dry bones to dance. You give living water so that new life blossoms. You urge flowers to push their way through winter-hardened soil. And so this day we bring before you the dead and the dried out places in our lives, that through your touch we may discover newness of life, forgotten dreams, lapsed intentions, hardened resentments, griefs to which we cling like children who cling to a worn but cherished toy or blanket. These we hand over to you, knowing that you will return them mended, washed, renewed, transformed. We bring before you the places in our lives and in our world where despair reigns. With grief, we bring our concerns for the ongoing pandemic and the many ways that it has taken so much from us. We care for those struggling with mental illness, especially for the ones whose lives feel so entombed that they have or are considering escape by suicide. All those experiencing racial hatred and violence and the daily effects of white supremacy on them and on those they know and love. And we also think this day of your good creation given to us to steward and to care for, which is crying out for us to end our wanton destruction of this life-giving home. Point us toward actions, Holy One, however small, which lead to a more hopeful future for ourselves and for our world. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you that you walk beside us as we journey through life. Because you are with us, we accept each new day with its joys and its sorrows as a gift. Because you are with us, we gain courage to meet the challenge of the day, choosing life and not death as we move through time. As you raised Jesus from the dead, raise us to new life daily, helping us to be instruments of your grace and new life for others. We ask these things in the name of the risen Christ, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. People of God, if we ever doubt God's forgiveness, we need only remember the story of the upper room. When Jesus and his disciples gathered together for a last meal with one another, he knew that one who was dipping his hand into the dish with him was going to betray him. He knew that Peter would deny that he had ever known him. He knew that the rest would lose their courage and that they would desert him. And yet he took bread. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. And in like manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup and gave it to the disciples, saying, Drink all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which has been poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink it, remember me. Jesus gives us his broken body and his poured out blood, not just to take away our sins, but to take away our sinfulness. His grace goes to work in us to replace all of the brokenness of our lives with his self-giving love, so that our thoughts and words and actions might bring forth life and love, joy and peace, hands that care and nurture instead of pain and hostility. And so let us now receive Jesus' self-giving love into our lives. Come, people of God, for all things have been made ready. We are one bread. We are one body. We are one cup of blessing. Though we are many throughout this earth, and this church community is scattered, we are one in the Easter in Christ. Wherever you may be, I ask you now to rest your hands lightly on these elements, this bread and cup, as we ask God's blessing upon them. Let us pray. Healing one, there is no lockdown on your blessing and no quarantine on grace. Send your spirit of life and love, power and blessing upon every table where your child shelters, that this bread may be broken and gathered in love, and this cup poured out to give hope for all. Risen Christ, live in us that we may live in you. Breathe in us that we may breathe in you. Let us now, in our many places, receive the gift of God, the bread of heaven.
We are one in Christ, in the bread we share.
Let us, in our many places, receive the gift of God, the cup of blessing.
We are one in Christ, in the cup we share.
I invite you now to take and eat. And invite us all to pray with one another. Let us pray. We give you thanks, God of resurrection, for so much we celebrate this Easter day, for the warming spirit that comes at winter's end and that you have placed within each one of us alone and all of us together. For the mystery that an empty grave may serve as the womb of new life. For the amazing graciousness of what you will for your children that far exceeds our expectations, our imaginings, even our hopes. Continue to draw forth our faithfulness from places of entombment. Move us to use our hands, heads, and hearts to roll away the stones that seal up the lives of others and receive our thanks and praise for the presence of the risen Christ in our midst on this day and every day. Amen.
Thank you.
people of God, depart now from worship to rise from whatever tombs may imprison you, knowing that the God of resurrection offers you new life. And as you do accept this blessing, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God look upon you with kindness on this Easter day and in all your days to come. Go now in the peace of the risen Christ. Amen. Thank you.